When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Christmas Eve is only a week away. I have a suggestion for you for a last-minute stocking stuffer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, O Holy Night. It's one of those famous arch books from Concordia Publishing House. It's a children's book. It's short. It's sweet. They're only $2 a piece, and they do make great stocking stuffers. So if you're looking for those for the kids, the grandkids, or the godchildren in your life, this is the thing for you. O Holy Night, it's the Christmas story and the latest in the Archbook series from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. There are many themes to pick up on in Holy Scripture, many indeed that are associated with Advent. We talked about one of them before the break. John the Baptist is a theme associated with Advent. Repentance, and all of the Old Testament prophecies. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament that often doesn't get associated with Advent, at least as it should. Remember the lion lying down with the lamb, and this picture of peace and utter tranquility in a new creation. Well, that's part of what we are hoping for and anticipating during the church's celebration of the season of Advent. And to further us along in our Advent contemplation, we're going to be studying the hymn, What Hope and Eden Prophesied, with its author, Pastor Stephen Starkey. He's a regular guest pastor of St. John Ameleth Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan, and author of the hymn, What Hope and Eden Prophesied. Stephen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This is a theme you often visit in your hymns of paradise and Eden restored. What makes this an Advent hymn?
Well, you know, this prophecy from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10, comes up in the lectionary series. And it came up one season when I was preaching on Isaiah 11, and it was during the Advent season. And there is so much in this particular prophecy that ties into Advent. The root shall come from the stump of Jesse, and the, you know, that whole prophecy that points to the coming of Christ. But also this, I felt that there's such a misunderstanding about this millennial kingdom, which so often is misunderstood as this perfect peace that will sometime in the future be here on earth. That I really felt that I needed to write a hymn that would clarify some of those things, to speak what Scripture is saying there about the coming of Christ, the provision for the improbable, that God provides things that you would never think of. And also that I believe that this prophecy is also a prophecy about how the church is meant to be a foretaste of heaven and to show the peace and all of that in the church, pointing forward to the church triumphant, where, you know, Eden is ultimately restored.
I take it we've had a handful of conversations on a handful of your hymns, but from my experience of your hymns, this is a theme of paradise and Eden that you're fond of. Why do you find that such rich fodder for hymn writing and for the poetry that goes behind it?
You know, I think there is in the heart of every individual, the recognition that the way the world is right now is just not right. You know, this is what's so wrong with our world in light of this horrible tragedy in Connecticut. It's just another awful example of sin in our world and how it plays itself out. And the longing that there's got to be something better, there's got to be something beyond what is in this world. And, you know, Scripture addresses that so clearly. Yes, there, you know, God and man living together in perfection in Eden long ago, man's fall into sin, God reconciling that relationship between his fallen humanity and himself, and the promise that one day in the paradise of heaven, you know, we will then have that perfect fellowship with God once again.
You said just a minute ago, and I'd like you to explain it a little bit more before we get into the stanzas of this hymn, that the church is, in some sense, already an embassy from the kingdom restored, from Eden restored. Talk about that.
Well, exactly right. And we are ambassadors of, you know, ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of the foreign land that we are living in is this world, and our true home is heaven. And in that sense, we are Christ's ambassadors in this world. We are salt. We are light. We are meant to give people that foretaste, and in the church in particular, to be a foretaste of heaven, of that peace and that joy that will only be known in perfection in heaven. But as flawed as the church is, because it's made up of sinner saints, you know, the sinful side of our of believers as well, but, you know, to know that even in the church, you know, it can be a foretaste of heaven as the church is gathering around the Word of God, gathering around the sacrament, taking the gospel into the world, all of that.
You mentioned the Isaiah prophecy. Are there any other biblical roots for this hymn that you want to make us aware of?
Well, you know, there's the background. I don't really address it here other than Eden. People, I guess you would have to say the whole Genesis, Genesis creation, and then also Genesis 3. The final stanza talks about the angel's flaming sword that was, you know, God set the cherubim there with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. But that's now in Christ. He restores paradise, you know, leads us past that flaming sword back to heaven. So I guess Genesis would be the most foundational in the background behind this prophecy.
Here is the first stanza of the Advent hymn, What Hope and Eden Prophesied. What hope and Eden prophesied, where tame live with the wild, the lamb and lion side by side, led by a little child. Pastor Starkey, what's in this first stanza for us to consider?
Well, something that doesn't come across, I guess, so easily when you're listening to the text is the punctuation. What hope! Exclamation point. And Eden prophesied, where tame live with the wild, a lamb and lion side by side, led by a little child! Exclamation point. I mean, this is really unusual. You know, this is really very strange, and, you know, just the thought that what is this that is so strange? Because, you know, we don't see that in the world. We see the tame not living by the wild. You know, that it's dangerous to be by the wild. The lamb and the lion certainly not side by side. And when you look in the Isaiah prophecy, even more so, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. The weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. But then the line that comes after that in the Isaiah text, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters of the sea. And so that's already taking us into the fact that this this Eden prophesied, this restored Eden, has something to do with the proclamation of God's word, has something to do with the gospel as it goes out into the world. Isaiah sort of points us to that in Isaiah 11, verse 9.
It's something that, I mean, especially as you mentioned before, in the wake of just the unthinkable violence that was done late last week in that in the classrooms in Connecticut, we are very, and rightly so, protective of our little children. And we would not think about, I mean, nowadays we don't even think about letting the kids play outside by themselves.
Right.
And the picture that Isaiah paints here of this child just kind of thoughtlessly in a place that would be danger, with no danger whatsoever, no concern, no harm, This is unimaginable, Pastor Starkey.
And it's otherworldly. You know, it's not of this world, because that's not the way the world is. We know it's not like that. Like you said, we are protective of our children. We'll never think of allowing them to play anywhere where there's danger. But here, in what's being described here, it's a reality where the wildness is not dangerous. And how can that be? Well, it was that way in Eden, you know, before the fall into sin. You know, there was no a poisonous snake bite or anything like that. So what is Isaiah talking about that fulfills that?
What does it say about us, with about a minute here before our break, that about how our minds have been tainted and twisted with sin, that we find this kind of prophecy unimaginable?
Well, I think it is. We find it unimaginable, but then because of our sin, we think that this is something that we can bring about here in this world, that somehow through politics or through electing the right leaders or whatever, we can somehow bring some type of heavenly peace and unity on earth, and it just will not happen. It will never happen, because that's really not, you will not find that peace in this world. That's an otherworldly peace.
During this hour of Issues, Etc., we're studying the Advent hymn, What Hope? An Eden Prophesied. Pastor Stephen Starkey, its author, is our guest. He's pastor of St. John Amaleth Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan, and author of this hymn, What Hope in Eden Prophesied. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon, December the 17th. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. When we come back, we're going to look at the second stanza of the hymn. In the course of our conversation, we'll hear and talk about all the stanzas, and then in the last part of this first hour, we will hear the entire hymn, What Hope and Eden Prophesied, by Pastor Stephen Starkey. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Folks, we're currently $30,000 short of making budget this year, and we have 2 weeks left in 2012. Please support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a tax-deductible contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York; Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama; Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California; St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Advent hymn, What Hope and Eden Prophesied. Pastor Stephen Starkey, its author, is our guest. Let's go to the phones and see what Mark has to say. Mark's waiting on the line. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Blessed Advent to both of you gentlemen.
Thank you.
I had a question about the reference to the wolf lying down with the lamb. And looking at Isaiah 11:6, and perhaps you can help me with this because I can't look at the original language, but we happen to have that image, you know, with the peaceable kingdom and so forth, the painting and the like. But the ESV has the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf with and the lion and the fatted calf together, and so forth.
Right.
I was just curious about that.
Well, you know, if you look at what Isaiah is saying, there's a whole bunch of animals: wolf with the lamb, the leopard lying down with the young goat, the calf and lion and fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. In my text, What Hope and Eden Prophesied, where tame live with the wild, the lamb and lion side by side. I mean, they're among those animals that are listed there, and as you mentioned so often, those are the two animals that are pulled out of that whole list of animals, the lamb with the lion. And they're usually depicted, as you mentioned, lying down together, but you know what? In the text of the hymn, the lamb and lion are side by side. They're part of that tame living with the wild, the animals there. So I don't know if that answers the question.
Can you speak a little bit to the fact that this is, you know, it's picturesque, but it's also so very true. I mean, we've got pets at home, and when our dog was still alive, we couldn't have him in this her in the same room with our cats. And it just didn't work out. And even now, you will not find any of our cats lying down together. They all stake out their territory, and they may be. It's a truce. It's a constant truce, even in the animal kingdom on account of our sin.
Yes, and to imagine a place where that's not that way, I mean, can we even really imagine what it was like in Eden, where there was none of this hostility between the animals? They were all dwelling together in a state of peace and weren't attacking one another and things like that. It's just beyond what we can imagine. And this is, you know, this is an Eden that is prophesied. So it's something that's able to happen, but is it going to happen on earth? And my understanding of this is no, it's a prophecy of the peace and the perfection of heaven, where Eden is once again restored.
What should we be listening for, Pastor Starkey, in stanza 2?
Well, stanza 2 ties in a lot of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messianic line coming through the line of David and Bethlehem, the Micah 2 prophecy there, or Micah 5 prophecy about Bethlehem as being the birthplace of the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, that's Isaiah language again. So all of that coming together in that second stanza: a shoot will sprout from Jesse's stem, a branch from David's line, a prince of peace in Bethlehem, the fruit of God's design. So it's a number of those passages are in the background there.
Thank you.
Contrai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with the second stanza of What Hope and Eden Prophesied. Pastor Starkey, what did you mean in the line, the fruit of God's design?
That line in particular just meant that throughout the Old Testament, there is that messianic line. It's like a golden thread that starts all the way in Genesis and the different prophecies and fulfillments of prophecies that finally come to fulfillment with the coming of Christ. I view it as a tapestry design, that God had that design and it was coming to fruition and fulfillment in Christ.
Is it also a way of saying that the Holy Scriptures understood this way, that apart from understanding the fulfillment in Jesus' birth and his life, his death, the resurrection, all that Old Testament prophecy, all those prophetic words don't make a lot of sense?
That's true. That's exactly right. They don't. Apart from Christ, he's the key that unlocks Holy Scripture. And if you think about what Isaiah is writing there, that kingly line that had been cut down to nothing more than a stump and roots, how improbable that God could ever bring something that could fulfill the promises that he had made. And yet out of that dead stump comes this branch from David's line, this branch of Jesse, to fulfill this prophecy that even though they had gone into exile, even though they had come back to Jerusalem, God would fulfill the promises he had made to his people and would fulfill that descendant of David that would sit on the throne and rule forever.
I don't know if you intended this, but one of the staples for the church throughout the centuries during Advent has been the O Antiphons, I'm sure you're familiar with.
Right, yes. Uh-huh.
And yep. This second stanza seems to kind of dip into that well a little bit.
It certainly does. I don't know if you can hear in the background there. I'm sorry, that's my granddaughter who we're babysitting right now.
Well, that's all right. So this, I think there's root of Jesse, there is key of David.
Right.
And then there is O Adonai that would probably fit beautifully with Prince of Peace there. Talk
right
about those.
Well, you know, that's the other Isaiah prophecy, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's usually read during the Christmas festival. But it's certainly in Advent we're anticipating the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, the birth of the Prince of Peace, who would be all of those things that Isaiah mentioned.
Here is stanza 3 of What Hope and Eden Prophesied. As banner of God's love unfurled, Christ came to suffer loss, that by his death a dying world would rally to the cross. Here you come to the heart of the matter, Pastor Starkey. Talk about this third stanza.
You know, when we think about Christ coming into this world, in the back of my mind also when I was writing this stanza was that passage from the Song of Solomon, his banner over me is love. And if Christ is coming into this world, as Isaiah mentions at the end of his prophecy, in that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal or an ensign for the people, of him shall the nations inquire, his resting place shall be glorious. He is that banner of God's love that God has stretched over the entire world through the cross of his son, through his death on the cross. You know, what more could God say to the world if he had to put a message on a banner than what he has said to us in Christ? You know, that is the heart of God. We see the heart of God in Jesus Christ. And the heart of Christ coming is the cross, is his redemptive death by which God redeems and reconciles the world to himself, so that by his death, a dying world, you know, that is filled with so much sin and heartache, would then be drawn, rally to the cross. I think in the back of my mind, too, is that John passage, if I be lifted up from the world, it will draw all men unto me, that they would rally to the cross, you know, seeing that banner of God's love unfurled.
And the picture there of rallying to the cross is one that we often think, and rightly so, of the cross as a stumbling block, as an offense. But Jesus himself says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Isn't there, Pastor Starkey, a magnetic quality to the gospel message?
Indeed. You know, the word goes out, the invitation of the gospel goes out, and the Spirit of God is active in that word, calling, inviting people to God, inviting people to believe. And so, you know, Christ draws the world to himself through the gospel. Not everyone. The sin in the human heart is such that men can, in the hardness of heart, turn away from that invitation and reject it. But that doesn't affect the invitation as it goes out to others.
You use that phrase, dying world, and that's something really only Christians can absolutely understand by God's word there. Talk in more depth about that. World is dying.
Well, it is dying. It's coming to an end. You know, the Advent season makes us think about that, when the world will come to an end like a worn-out garment. It will be rolled up, and a new heavens and a new earth, Christ has promised when he returns. The misunderstanding of this Isaiah prophecy, again, is that somehow in this dying world we're going to be able to restore paradise, and it's not ever going to happen, you know. And it is a dying world, but look at the life here in time and the eternal life that God offers the world through his Son, Jesus Christ.
We're studying the Advent hymn, What Hope, and Eden Prophesied. Pastor Stephen Starkey is our guest on this Monday afternoon, December the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Starkey is author of the hymn, What Hope, and Eden Prophesied, and pastor of St. John Ameleth Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan. When we come back, we'll hear stanza 4 and the entire hymn, What Hope, and Eden Prophesied.
This lovely Christmas hymn comes from a 2-CD set titled Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services. We'll send you this resource of 26 hymns for any sized year-end donation to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support at the end of 2012. Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The grace of God. The church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in this hour. We're studying the Advent hymn, What Hope and Eden Prophesied. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we'll spend some time with Dr. David Adams talking about the archaeological evidence found recently by one of the undersea archaeologists that had a hand in discovering the sunken Titanic. He has been doing some research in the Black Sea, and he believes that he has found evidence of a cataclysmic ancient flood. And we'll see what Dr. David Adams, professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, has to say. Then we'll do a sermon review. Apropos of the recent news from Connecticut, we're going to do a sermon review of a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Mark Lovett of Concordia Lutheran Church in Hoisington, Kansas. Pastor Starkey, before we go into stanza four and hear it, what should we be listening for?
In stanza four, you really hear the Advent theme of longing for the coming of Christ, that we are preparing for his coming. We are anticipating his coming because it is so desperately needed. While during the break, I was looking at those O antiphons for O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and the urgency, come quickly to deliver us. Come, you rescue the prisoners who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that's really the longing. Our only hope in this dying world is the coming of the one who is life and hope and light, to lighten our darkness and to bring us hope where there is so much hopelessness. And so it's really that longing anticipation, Lord, come, almost the final words of Scripture, come, Lord Jesus, amen, you know, come quickly.
Here is the final stanza of What Hope and Eden Prophesied. Come, Jesus, come, Messiah, Lord, lost paradise restore, lead past the angel's flaming sword, come, open heaven's door. Pastor Starkey, why did you, in that last line, put it, paint this picture of Jesus bringing us back into Eden past that flaming sword?
In my mind, when I think about Christ coming to fulfill all that was necessary for our salvation, which he accomplished on the cross by his death and resurrection, ultimately he is, through that action, opening the doors of heaven to us. He himself is the way that leads us back to our Heavenly Father, back to heaven. He is the only one that was able to open heaven's door, to go past that angel's flaming sword and lead us once again to the tree of life in paradise that is spoken of in the book of Revelation. He's the only one that's able to do that, as strong enough and holy enough and to do that for us. So he's the only one that can open the door.
Let's hear the entire Advent hymn, What Hope and Eden Prophesied.
Oh,
Two final questions for you, Pastor Starkey. You begin this hymn with that exclamation, "What hope?" And the world thinks of hope as maybe, but this isn't a maybe, is it?
No, it's not at all. It's an absolute rock-solid foundational promise that, like all of the promises of God's Word, that we can build our hope and our life upon. And it's just absolutely sure, and that's what's so wonderful about this prophecy that seems so improbable, that God will bring all this to pass, and He has in Christ, and He has opened heaven to us in Christ. It's just fully completed in Christ.
So what are your final thoughts for us as we end our study of this hymn, What Hope in Eden Prophesied?
I think one thought would be to take a look at those Isaiah prophecies, you know, to take the Bible out, read Isaiah 11, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 2, all these wonderful promises that are there in Isaiah, and just sit down, read them, meditate upon them, open up your study Bible, look at what is written about them, because there's so much there. You know, there's so much. Isaiah has often been called the gospel writer of the Old Testament. It's so true. There's so much Christ in Isaiah. And just a second thought, this is sort of an aside with regards to the tune. The tune that the Contrari is singing is Christian Love. That was the tune that sort of inspired the text. But in our hymnal, it's to the tune Consolation, which is when the hymnody committee got together, it was decided that that would be a more singable tune and well-known, so the text was put to Consolation instead. So,
Pastor Stephen Starkey is pastor of St. John Ameleth Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan, and author of the hymn What Hope at Eden Prophesied. Pastor Starkey, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, and have a blessed Christmas.
Folks, if you appreciate hymn studies like this one, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to Issues, Etc. Now we have 2 weeks left in the year, and we're currently about $30,000 short of making our budget this year. Our listeners every year since our return have taken us very firmly into the black at the end of every year, making our budget, and we know that you, our listeners, can do that for us again this year. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. Send it to Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Now, for any sized year-end donation, we will send you a CD with a sermon that I've preached on the birth of Christ and on the Confession of St. Peter, and we'll also send you a 2-CD set, Lutheran Service Book, Hymns and Services. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind as you consider your year-end giving. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we'll spend some time with Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, talking about some recent archaeological evidence for the biblical flood, get his evaluation of that, and then we'll be doing a sermon review on this Monday afternoon, a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Mark Lovett of Concordia Lutheran Church in Hoisington, Kansas. I don't imagine that there were many preachers who went to the pulpit yesterday without making at least some mention of the tragedy in Connecticut, the great loss of life there. And he does that in this sermon, and in a very beautiful and textual way. You'll hear that in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. It is a hope that is certain. The world's hope is never certain. The world's hope is always, maybe, I hope so. We'll see. But there's none of that to the hope that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Now, is it hard to believe that there will one day dawn a day wherein sin and death no longer rule the world we live in? Well, not on this side of Christ's return, but on the other side of Christ's return, a new heaven and a new earth. Beyond imagination, a world without sin, because we can't imagine a world without sin. But God knows what that world was, and He knows what it is to come, and He has already begun to restore it in Christ. In Christ, it's fully restored, and we await its consummation with His return, with the resurrection, with the end of this and the beginning of the world to come, where sin no longer holds sway, where Christ's death and resurrection rule the day, not our sin and our death. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
A Savior Who is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.